Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
When did you lose your consecration? When did you lose your ability to get down on your knees and know that you have a clear channel between you and God?
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the scripture says about Samson and the cost of a haircut. This message was recorded at a chapel service in 1999. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, Samson and the cost of a haircut.
One of the most tragic stories, I think, or one of the most tragic characters in the Old Testament is Samson. You think of a person who had godly parents, who prayed diligently. In fact, on record, is the godliest man alive in that era, in that generation. And God said they were going to have a son. And Manoah and his wife were thrilled. They prayed in chapter 13 and verse 8. Manoah pleaded with the Lord and said, "Let the man of God which thou send come again to us. Teach us what we should do unto the child that shall be born." Here we find a child who was miraculously given a gift from God. A mom and a dad begging God for wisdom to know what to do, how they should order the child, and what shall be done with that child. And you would think with the opportunity that Samson had, there should have never been any reason for him to end by death at his own hands. Good beginnings do not always presuppose good endings. I think we see that with the nation of Israel. We see that with situation after situation. In the Old Testament, and we'll look at Adam and Eve. You could not have had a better beginning than Adam and Eve had, but yet hardly could there have been a more tragic ending than Adam and Eve had. So those who would assume that everything is going to be fine had better take heed to the stories in Scripture. Because there is a sowing and a reaping process that goes on. And be not deceived, for God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now we find Samson starting a progression in Judges chapter 14. If you want to give this a title I used to use years ago on about Samson, the cost of a haircut in the devil's barbershop. Those of you who are going to beauty saloons know you don't get out of there with much money. You can go in loaded, come out relatively broke. But the cost that Samson paid for a haircut could never be matched. You could be a multimillionaire and have some beautician come to your home, give you that look, get you all gussied up. $2 million, that's a drop in the bucket compared to what Samson paid. Because when we look at the cost that Samson paid, it's so tragic, it's hard for us to even review how he could have gotten to that point with the beginning that he had. And it starts with these four words, "And Samson went down." That is the progression of the life of Samson, Judges chapter 14 and verse 1. Samson went down. He went down to Timnath. Later we see him going down to Gaza. Then we see him going down to the harlots in Gaza. Then we see him going down to the valley of Sorek, and then going down to Delilah, who eventually became his undoing. How did he get to this point? Well, one thing we realize is that Samson took restrictions lightly. He was a Nazarite, dedicated as a Nazarite from birth. He took parental instruction lightly. He took God's instruction lightly. He took his functional vows as a Nazarite lightly. We see him refusing parental instruction in the matter of going down to Timnath to find a bride. We find him taking God's instruction lightly in the matters regarding the marriage of the Israelite with the Philistine, with the Canaanites, because God said, you get involved with that, they will turn your hearts away from God. And we see in Numbers chapter 6, the instruction. In fact, hold your finger there in Judges chapter 14, and then let's go back to Numbers chapter 6, and we see these little handbook items for the Nazarite. Samson paid no attention to these matters. Numbers chapter 6, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either man or woman hath separated themselves to vow a vow of the Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine, strong drink, drink no vinegar of wine, vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. All the days of the vow of his separation there shall be no razor come upon his head, until the days he be fulfilled in which he be separated unto the Lord. He shall be holy, and he shall set the locks of the hair of his head to grow. All the days that he separated himself unto the Lord, he shall come to no dead body. Well, obviously, if you know anything about the history of Samson, you know he violated all of these. When he went down to Timnath, he killed a lion, touched a dead body, said that he went to the vineyard in Timnath in verse 5, took of the grapes. He did not pay attention to these little matters that seemed, what is the big deal to him? And let me say something to you as a student. If you do not take the matter of restraint, no matter how large or how small it may be, if you take upon yourself to ignore the matter of restraint, whether it is imposed by an institution under which you serve, or whether it is a God-imposed standard that is a direct instruction from God's word, if you take any of these matters lightly, you are heading on your way down to Timnath, down to Gaza, down to Delilah, and down to your destruction. Because you don't take small things lightly where they do not end up becoming big things eventually. Because obedience is the greatest protector for you. Obviously, we have a lot of growing to do. We have a lot of learning that it needs to take place in our life. And as you new students get into the semester, and as we go through the dean's areas and instructions, things that are little things, but yet they all make up a whole to become a big thing. How quickly things take on a different perspective when you become the decision maker, not the decision violator. I can't wait for some of you to get out there. And then you start reaping what was sown. You will come to quick repentance and say, Lord, help. Help me to do what I ought to do. But note, first of all, the first price that Samson paid for his haircut was the cost of his consecration. Now, this is not going to be an expository, take the passage apart thing. I'm going to take some highlights from the life of Samson because we only have 10 minutes left. But that which takes place within the heart always will come out eventually. But Samson's consecration was gone long before his power was gone. But God kept using him, and it's an illustration that God will be honored by your life or by your death. Eventually, whether you obey or disobey, God is still going to get the glory from the life, whether it's in your life or death, as it was in the death of Samson. Now, Samson would have been a fun guy to hang around with. When you stop 20 years the way he operated, especially if you are kind of negative against the Philistines. I'd like to have gone cruising with Samson on Friday nights. Now, that's my flesh speaking. Say, Hanuk, come here. I have a guy for the meetings. He's only about the size of Frank Hamrick. I don't think Samson was a very large person. I don't think Samson was a muscular ape. I think God gave him the strength. And I think what was so shocking is that this little runt was able to do what he did. You could have said, Mr. T, come here, honey. Governor of Minnesota, Jesse, come here, sweetheart. Want a piece of me? Ventura's head is spinning. What was that? I mean, from a human standpoint, he would have been a fun guy to run around with. Because boy, would you have had the stories. When you had gotten together, say, man, remember we were down at Gaza? They said, they got him. And here came the half of the, looked like the whole city wall was moving. And here came Samson with the gates and all. And then he said, fare thee well. And off he went. But you know what he was doing? Toying with what God had given to him. Do you? God has given you salvation. He has given you protection. He has given you godly parents. He has given you a loving staff and a loving student body and a loving group of instructors and administrators. And do you toy with the fact you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God? Do you toy with the fact that you have all of these blessings and all of these opportunities and you're taking it lightly because nothing has ever gripped you really about life? Consecration was gone. Hair was, according to number 6, was the outward symbol of an inward consecration. And I think the hair was probably the greatest of that consecration because that was the thing that he waited last to play with. And so we find Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart, finish it, shall be filled with his own way. When did you lose your consecration? When did you lose your ability to get down on your knees and know that you have a clear channel between you and God? And suddenly that channel is gone because of sin. That channel is clogged because you chose to sin. You chose to disobey. Some of you can't pray because of things happened over the holidays. You have no clear channel. You have no conscience that is void of offense. I'm talking about you personally accountable before God in the indwelling Holy Spirit who prompts you and you fight against that conviction and you fight against that Holy Spirit instruction and you go and do it anyway. That's what I'm talking about because that's what you have to live with long term. When you get out in your own ministries, you are not going to be held accountable to a dean. You're going to be held accountable to God Almighty. And you'll either fight the conviction of the Holy Spirit till you become seared, or you will respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit and you'll say, I cannot lose my consecration. What are some signs of lost consecration? I think, number one, no love for the Word. It just is a text you carry, not something you hide in your hearts. Become careless in little matters. The diligence is gone. You become very critical of anything that contradicts you. By the way, I'm not just talking about people who are living in the obvious throes of sin. I'm not talking about people who have gone into immorality or gone into all this. I'm talking about those of you who look perfect, but your heart is 100% sold out to you. Externally, you fit everything perfectly. You know better than to violate anything because it would violate your reputation. But yet you know in your heart there is no burning love for God. There is no desire for His Word. It's a matter of surviving until you can get on to do your own thing. And obviously no burden for unregenerate. No burden for the lost world. You know, when you are right with God and the consecration is there, you're going to be doing what God wants you to do. Then secondly, quickly I move on, it cost His strength. Oh, it's a tragic thing. Because we see Samson toying. He goes down to Timnath and sees this woman he wants to marry. And then the Philistines are so desperate for Samson to be captured that they get a hold of the woman that Samson was wanting to marry. And they try to get to him. And Samson gave them all a riddle. Solve my riddle. And they pleaded with this woman until she pleaded with Samson. And he gave up the riddle. And they got the riddle. And the deal was 30 changes of garments. So Samson goes out and kills 30 Philistines. Takes their garments and said, here, I kept my end of the deal. But 30 families without fathers. And then he ends up marrying, she ends up marrying her best man. The best man in the wedding, not Samson. The marriage was not even consummated because Samson got so ripped about her giving up this riddle that they got in an argument and he took off back and she goes back to her dad's home and her dad gave her to the best man. Samson shows up later with a lamb and says, here's a peace offering and a peace sacrifice. And this Bina was the Akkadian custom. This was called a Bina marriage, where the woman would stay where she was, and the husband-to-be would just come and visit. But it doesn't seem any indication that the wedding was even consummated. Reminds me of some of the weddings I was familiar with in Upper Michigan. I mean, literally, I had friends get married, and they'd go on benders, and they wouldn't even see each other till a week after the wedding, literally. Get in a fight and go their own separate ways. So then he said, well, I'll fix their wagon. So he got out, caught all these foxes or whatever animals these were, tied all their tails together, set them on fire, and put them down through their harvest field. Said, see you later. See you tomorrow. Boy, everything seemed to be going his way. But then look in verse chapter 16, and he went to Gaza, down again. He went down again to Gaza. And there an harlot went in unto her. See what's happening here? Consecration gone. And he is so bent on this lifestyle and in so much bondage that he cannot break loose. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 22 said, a man's iniquity shall take the wicked himself. He shall be holden with the cords of his own iniquity. And in the bonds of his iniquity will he go astray. He'll be bound with his own sin. Coils of sin just wrap tighter and tighter and tighter. I apologize for rushing through these. The tragic thing here in chapter 16 is he started playing again. He said, well, take some green grass that has never been dried. Then he said, take new ropes that had never been used. Then he got closer to the truth. Then he said, braid my hair. What they did, obviously, had tremendous locks of hair and braided. And then they took a pin, just like in the jail situation. The same word is used there where jail, remember jail took the nail and nailed that guy to the ground. Well, what they did was they took all of the woven locks of Samson's head and took this pin and pounded this pin through those locks where he could not have gotten up. He was laying down. He could not have gotten up, but he just walked away from all of that bondage that he had until finally She hounded him and hounded him. In verse 16 says, in chapter 16, so that his soul was vexed unto death. He said, I'm going to die if I don't satisfy what this woman is begging for. Look in verse 19. She made him to sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Here's the tragedy. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza, bound him with fetters and brass. And he did grind in the prison. Cost him his strength. Didn't know that God's power was gone. And secondly, he became a worker for the enemy and a laughingstock to the enemy. And their god Dagon was praised and Jehovah God was belittled. That's always true. When you as a child of God opt to go the way of the world and opt to live your own way, the world's gods are exalted and our God is belittled. And the world would lead you by the nose as the coils of sin wrap. And then last of all, it cost him his life. There is a sin unto death. 1 Corinthians 11 in the instruction for the Lord's Supper says, because many don't take this serious, they sleep, they're dead. 1 John 5:16, there is a sin unto death. I do not say you should pray for it. We see this in Ananias and Sapphira. We see the judgment of God coming quickly upon willful disobedience. There is premature removal. I don't believe it's possible for an obedient child of God to be removed prematurely, but I do believe it is possible for a disobedient child of God to be prematurely removed. Some of you are toying with sin and you don't believe that. You don't believe that. You say, no, because I can control my destiny. I remember a great friend of mine from Gitchigumi Bible Camp. We were in camp. He always won the honor things. Whatever, someone did that quickly, he had it memorized. He had it done that quickly. That quickly, nobody knew what was going on in his heart. Al was there, and then there was a girl from Launch called Sally. Very pretty girl. Al and Sally were dating, and then she started showing little interest in him. I had moved down to Lower Michigan. And in fact, I was at Pastor Hart's house visiting as I had come back up for some reason or another, and Pastor Hart was all broken up. He had just gotten a call that this Al had gone home from church, had waited at this Sally's house, killed her parents, killed Sally. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I thought, nah, that cannot be. But nobody knew the drip that was going on in that heart all those years. And the drip eventually will fill the cup and it will overflow. You will not be able to contain your drip of disobedience. You will not be able to stop the consequence of your willful choosing. You will not be able to stop it. You can choose your way, but you cannot choose your consequence. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Look in chapter 16 and verse 23. Then the Lord of the Philistines gathered together for to offer great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. For they said, our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God hath delivered unto our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass when their hearts were merry that they called, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And they were upon the roof about 300,000 men. 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be avenged of the Philistines for mine eyes. Then he said, I want to be avenged for mine eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, on which it was borne up, the one on with his right hand, the other with his left hand. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines, knowing he was going to die. He bowed himself with all of his might. And the house fell upon the lords, upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew in his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father. He judged Israel 20 years. Can you imagine being Manoah, the dad and the mother, not to have to go and identify the body of the dead son? All of the mangled bodies of the enemy. Finally come into the face of their son Samson, the one they cradled, the one for whom they had such great hopes. Now they're looking at his dead face, sticking out from under a pillar amongst a few thousand dead Philistines. What a tragic end. God was still glorified, and he will be in you, because God's glory will not be diminished, but your death may be premature. If you are hanging on to sin, if you think you can come and survive another semester here and nobody will know what's really in your heart, nobody will know what's going on, don't be such a fool. God knows everything. He loves you. He will continue to box you in until you come to repentance, to where you love him with all of your heart. What are you hiding? What are you covering? Confess it and get it taken care of.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala speaking on Samson and the cost of a haircut. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.